question? Oui? No question? The question you had last time, now it's not possible really, but in the future it will be possible to look at Rumi when he's teaching this. When you're looking at the sky, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? When you're looking at in the sky, you're looking at the past. When you're looking at the sun, you see sun 6 minutes ago. If 2 minutes ago sun has exploded, we don't see it yet. Further you go in the history. Imagine that in 400 light years from the Earth, we'll find a planet like a mirror. What do we see? We see 800 years ago of Earth. So maybe we could find what Rumi was thinking then. But that's in the future, and it cannot be the real answer to the question. It needs an imagination. Let's imagine Rumi sitting down and imagining and knowing that 800 years after his death, a group of people are sitting down somewhere in Vancouver, which is the other side of the earth for Rumi, and even some fellow is sitting down in Seattle listening to what he was teaching. How does he feel? I believe that is closer answer. Just imagine, you could see this, a group of people, a mixture of different nations, Canadian, Arab, Iranian, sitting down in Vancouver just to study Masnavi, and a group of people in Seattle are joining us. This is what he wanted, right? So I could think his happiness, because he was not silly. He could imagine this. He believed in this, because here he's not talking about something he found out scientifically, something he learned. Here he's talking about a very special experiment. When he was mature, an old man switched his life, and suddenly he discovered the real source of joy and happiness. And he tried to give it to the future. That's why they are writing it, right? So he's thinking about his travel. He's going from somewhere to somewhere, the path. And he's talking about it here, and he's imagining that we are eager to understand how to absorb this wisdom. We are at the end of the book 3. He's talking about that returning back, returning to the source of joy, getting rid of the mind, and discovering the condition of the soul, which is the real humanity, right? He's telling us a story of someone who has discovered this. He discovered that he needs to go back Why? Just because he misses that time. That's all there is. And it's not really promising. It's dangerous. The path itself is dangerous, and arriving over there is dangerous because he doesn't know what will happen over there. He ran away. Do you remember you running away? When did it happen? Beginning book one. One day you decided to understand what's going on in this universe. You got together all your possibilities, worked out, and there it was, the brain. And you fell in love with it. You fell in love with the logic. And of course, logic works. It was very beneficial, right? Later, the problem arose. What is the problem? This understands and works with rules. There are rules, aren't they? Of course there are. But when there is rule, there is exception. An exception this one doesn't understand. An exception is very important to us, isn't it? Is it or not? Why? Because the path we are following doesn't have any rule. It's full of exceptions. If there was a simple rule, it was written and everybody was there. There is no rule how to follow love. Is there? No. Then there is another point. That's the subject. The subject we are studying is exception, and we are studying it. Who is this we? A collection of human beings. Is there any rule over there, or each individual or exception? Each fellow is in an exceptional situation and has a special path. Do you remember the path to beloved is like what? Like the hair of the beloved. Each one of us has our own private, personal path. So you see why exception? Because the rule is the superficial somehow. Because the rule is looking at what? The rule is cause and effect. Good. Quite understandable, of course, and mainly is advisable. But when it comes to love, what is the rule? There is no rule. It's an exceptional experiment which should make something exceptional and special for you. For each of us, there is that beloved, that enlightenment, right? So, we don't have the possibility to talk about the rules here because we don't have the rule. And even more than that, what we want to explain is not explainable. That's a dilemma. Therefore, we cannot talk. Because who made the language? Your merchant. Language is made for giving and taking the stuff. When we needed something different, we had to create another language. What is that one? Mathematics. It's another language, because in the normal language that precision doesn't exist. What is the language of the wisdom we are talking about? Poetry. All around the globe. Why? Because when I'm talking about the passion, I could only give you a hint. And musicality, yes, helps a lot. Because that's what poetic language is all about. Poetic language has two specialties. The first is musicality, that we miss somehow here because we deal with the translation. But that's not the major part of the poetic language. What is the other one?
Arouses the emotions.
What?
It touches the feelings and the emotions. Arouses the emotions.
That was not clarification.
Okay.
You just said, yes, it's complicated. But what's the specialty of poetic language? In poetic language, the superficial or normal meaning of the word is not what the poet is looking at. Never. The word over there hints to something else. The combination of the words will make another space. That's where that passion could be agitated, provoked somehow. Look around you. You cannot find any book of wisdom in no matter what language, what culture, what religion, or whatever, which is alphabetic or mathematical language. It's poetic language. And we know about this fellow. He was not a poet. He didn't even like the poetry. He said, poems are for this empty brain poets. He didn't like it. Why? Why didn't he like it? Because he was raised as a cultured, scientific fellow, quote unquote. He learned religion, law, and philosophy. He was a philosopher and a teacher, and he had a lot of followers because he knew the religion perfectly, and he replaced his father, so he had this private school. He was successful, healthy, wealthy. The best situation, enviable. I mean, if you wish someone be the luckiest person 800 years ago, Rumi is one of them. And do you remember what he said? When he transformed, he said, I was dead, I became alive. I was the sadness, I became the happiness. Because when love arrived, I was transformed. Shams will appear and will teach him a lesson. What is the lesson? You tell him there is something you don't know, and it's not philosophy, it's not scientific, it's not even understandable with the brain, because the brain doesn't even like falling in love. Because when you fall in love, you give up a lot of stuff, and that's wrong for the brain, for the logic, for the animal. This is what the subject is all about here. In this book that is advising how to collect this wisdom, he says, you have to go back. You have to go back to your original personality, because the personality you have now is what? Is something injected to you from your environment. It depends where you are, how you're born, and who are around you. That's the social personality you get. We are talking about the magical one, falling in